syndrome in which things appear as alienated from me. Torture is something for which I am directly responsible. The only sane response to Abu Ghraib was that we did it. We are responsible. This goes beyond, at least at a certain limit of thinking, rounding up and punishing scapegoats, even if we prove that they are directly responsible for torture. Because our own reluctance to speak up at the time, the dark time, yeah, between 2001 and 2005, the really wrong one, yeah, the other bits were dark too, but that was really dark, also implicates us, even if we are victims of an abuse of power that made us afraid and paranoid. Beautiful soul syndrome wants to induce in us the correct aesthetic appreciation of the world, but this aesthetic attitude can never truly become an ethical one. I'm with Kierkegaard on this. Kierkegaard, who brilliantly and terrifyingly showed how insidious beautiful soul syndrome can be in his narrative of the seducer in either or. In effect, aestheticization is synonymous with evil because it always holds the world at a distance from which to size it up, evaluate it, assess it. Thus, the attitude that says we need more evidence on global warming before we act is joined ironically by the attitude that says if only you could experience nature in the raw, you wouldn't be having these evil beliefs about destroying it. They are both examples of beautiful soul syndrome because they both require a certain aesthetic distance, an evaluative, pseudo-contemplative, meditative stance that always contains aggression somewhere in there. Here's a Buddhist Lama, Chögyam Trungpa, talking about beautiful soul syndrome in what I hold to be the definitive passage on the affinity between contemplativeness and violence. The Lama is recounting the words of a visitor from the city of Birmingham to his monastery in southern Scotland. The visitor was a little hesitant to do any actual meditation. "Well, it's nice you people are meditating," he says, "but I feel much better if I walk out in the woods with my gun and shoot animals. I feel very meditative walking through the woods and listening to the sharp, subtle sounds of animals jumping forth, and I can shoot at them. I feel I'm doing something worthwhile at the same time. I can bring back venison, cook it, and feed my family. I feel good about that. I've recently been accused of not knowing what nature is because I've never killed an animal that I've subsequently eaten. This is a criterion that I am happy not to have fulfilled." Heideggerianism, which is the quintessence of the contemplative eco-phenomenological mode in which a lot of nature speak now addresses us, is marked by a trace of violence, an unspeakable violence towards the world it so lovingly appears to reveal to us. The very worn insides of the peasant shoes, about which Heidegger rhapsodizes so beautifully in his essay on the origin of the work of art, are made from leather, which is animal skin. You can imagine committing a murder in a beautiful, mindful, Heideggerian way. I'm putting the knife into the rabbit. I'm delicately, gently inserting it. I'm carefully pulling open the skin, mindfully and meditatingly slaughtering this chicken with my knife, very meditatively and carefully. See the problem? This is pure beautiful soul syndrome because it sets up reality on a pedestal to be admired and scorned and sets up your own experience that way as an object of aesthetic contemplation. Aesthetically powerful descriptions of the natural world, then, are not only a bit of a waste of time, but might actually unwittingly aid the other side of the contemporary coin, which for sure sees the world as an exploitable resource or as objects of instrumental reason. The difference between a cow and beef would be the application, one application of this instrumentality. Ecological ethics, then, can't be grounded in aesthetics. But there's a further problem. If you beat up on the beautiful soul and leave it bleeding to death in the street, are you not also a victim of beautiful soul syndrome? However much you try to slough off the aesthetic dimension, doesn't it always stick to you ever more tightly? At a certain limit of thinking, then, transcending beautiful soul syndrome means forgiving the beautiful soul, recognizing that we are responsible for this syndrome, whether we think of ourselves that way or not. The only way out of the problem is further in, which means jumping into our hypocrisy rather than pretending that finally we are totally disillusioned and are now thinking outside of ideology without attitudes. This is a test case for our ability to progress in our social collectivity, because thinking this means dropping various support concepts that provide the background against which regular thinking takes place, concepts such as nature, environment, world, life. Taking full responsibility for the planet means dropping these concepts. We can't have our cake and eat it too. Having your cake and eating it too is called consumerism, which is beautiful soul syndrome. The only way out is in and down, which is why I've chosen to call my approach dark ecology. Dark ecology realizes that we are hopelessly entangled in the mesh of interconnectedness without any possibility of extricating ourselves. It's also, of course, a kind of aestheticization because it's dark. Dark Ecology finds itself fully responsible for all life forms because, like a detective in a noir movie, it's realised that it's complicit in the crime. Dark Ecology is ironical, introverted, and introspective, attitudes that are routinely shunned by masculinist, heteronormative environmentalism. Dark Ecology is melancholic, because melancholy is the medieval humour that's closest to the earth, it being the earth humour, and likewise because melancholy is that residuum of our unbreakable psychic connection to our mother's body, which stands metonymically for our connection with all life forms. But not in a kind of nice Gaia umbilical cord way. The irony of Dark Ecology is like being caught in your own shadow. Hegel disliked romantic art because its ironies reminded him of the beautiful soul. He describes this irony in hauntingly environmental terms in his lectures on aesthetics. Environmental awareness is, finally, a sense of irony, because it's through irony that we realise that we might be wrong, that identity might not be as solid as we think, that our own gaze might be the evil that we see. Thank you very much.